All right, welcome back to Sports Talk for fans by fans. Brian here with a mystery guest host, co-host, if you will. So for episode 17, we're going to talk only basketball this time. This person has been the one who has tried to control Corey, maybe. I don't know how to put that, but he was his boss for a while. Don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But Daniel, thank you for joining us to come talk basketball. And I know some people call you the ghost in the post because your credentials are phenomenal for basketball. How are you doing?
AKA Dickless Cage. What's up, everybody?
Do that. So we're going to give you the NBA podcast. And what we're going to do today is we're going to talk and break down the Eastern Conference playoff preview. With my co-host, not Nicolas Cage, but Daniel Griffin. So, once again, we have Facebook page, Sports Talk for Fans by Fans. Please join on there. We'll post questions out there. Interact with you guys, especially some basketball stuff coming up. So, playoff start in like a week, I believe. So, let's get right into it. So, let's break down the Eastern Conference standings. I guess better now than never. So the one seed we have right now, the basketball in today, is the Philadelphia 76ers, the team that is known to trust the process. And here we are. They've, I guess, trusted the process, and they're three games up on the net. So I think it's safe to say that they have the first seed. Second seed here is the Brooklyn Nets. That's Daniel's favorite team, and he'll explain why he disagrees strongly with that. Okay. No? Not strong, no. Third seed is the Bucks, so we'll see if they can kind of redeem themselves. They're one game back in the Nets, they could still claim the second seed. The fourth seed, I think, is a big surprise of the season. Maybe Daniel would agree with this. The Knicks, 38-30, is that the big surprise of the season on the Eastern Conference for you?
Dude, I like it. I really do, man. They're cool. They play some good defense.
Led by my favorite creepy coach, Tom Thibodeau.
Tibbs and Rose back at it.
Yep, I know. And Taj Gibson, he's just brought his – I think Joakim Noah doesn't have knees left anymore, so he probably just can't do that. But, yeah, it's kind of crazy seeing – it's kind of crazy seeing them as being the four seed. I don't think anyone expected the Knicks. I think they started the season kind of rough, and they've really turned things around. The fifth seed is probably kind of one of the interesting teams to see what they do in that career, playing the Hawks. You remember the – all the stuff they had back in the day, you know, they're kind of like a one and done team. They were led by Joe Johnson. It was just kind of always depressing. So maybe they'll finally break that trend and actually have a good, well-rounded basketball team. The Miami Heat, the team that actually took the Lakers to the finals last year and of course lost, but I think surprised everyone's back at the sixth seed. Then we have the 7, 8, 9, 10, which is the Celtics, the seventh seed, which kind of, I think, surprising people. Eighth seed, the Charlotte Hornets. Pacers are number 9, the Wizards number 10, and it's looking like it's kind of going to be the 1 through 10 seed. It's been like for a couple weeks now. So, getting right into it, let's talk about the play-in game. So the play-in game is kind of new to us. I think it was started last year. Did you watch the play-in game at all last year, Daniel? Or I know both of us were overseas. It's kind of rough to watch some of that stuff, but did you get a chance to watch the play-in game stuff last year?
I did not.
So are you looking, what do you think though? Do you like the idea of the playing game where it's kind of like a one game winner take all to advance?
Dude, it's cool because it's, what are we doing? They're creating urgency at the end of the season. So you got these, you know, these bottom tier teams that have to, or they get a chance to, you know, play a little harder there at the end and see if they can't sneak in and grab a spot. And then you got one game. So it's like, teams can get hot. Teams can go to sleep. Anybody can win those games. Those are going to be hard picks to make.
And I think it's kind of cool. Also, it just kind of shows, you know, like anything could happen for that one game. So maybe this is the perfect time where Kevin Garnett's quote makes sense, where anything's possible. So, which, yeah, you know, is the best quote of all time. So if you guys aren't familiar with the playing game, how that works, the way it's set up is, the 7-8 seed play each other once, and the 9-10 seed play each other once. The 7-8 seed currently is Celtics and the Hornets play each other. The winner of that automatically advances to the 7th seed. The loser gets one more chance to advance. The loser of that game between Celtics and the Hornets plays the winner of the Pacers and the Wizards, the 9-10 seed. So the winner of that matchup advances. So if you're in the 9 and 10 seed, you have to win that one and your next one to advance. So I think it's kind of cool because the 7 and 8 seed right now, if the playoffs ended, which this is probably the first time we can say this in a long time, Daniel, that the 7 seed in the Eastern Conference actually has a winning record. I think it's been a long time since we've seen winning records on the Eastern Conference for the 6, 7, 8 seed, which is kind of sad. But so the playoffs ended today, Celtics and Hornets. So, you know, who would you take in that game? Is that a game that's interesting for you to watch in terms of all these? Because I know on the Western Conference, which we'll get to next time, you have currently like the Lakers and like Warriors is your 7-8 matchup, which is kind of insane. But on the Eastern Conference, does Celtics Hornets do anything for you? Does it move anything?
Boston.
That's all you're gonna say, just Boston.
Boston. They own the Hornets all year. They're gonna beat them. That's too easy.
Yeah, so they played each other 3 times this year, and Boston won 2 of the 3. So Charlotte actually won one of the games, but I think it's actually so it's kind of like a matchup nightmare between them. Like they just lost. I think they just lost Brown. The Celtics just lost Brown to a wrist injury, so he's not going to be back. So he was averaging 25 points per game. That's there's pretty much their second go-to person, especially with letting Gordon Hayward leave last year. He's kind of the second man behind Tatum. So, you know, maybe that makes it more of an even game between the Celtics and the Hornets. The Hornets kind of up and coming, the pride of Michael Jordan, if you will, being kind of like the co-owner. That's probably the best thing they got going for him. But, they got a Ball. They drafted. I think he's kind of exceeded expectations. So he just came back from injury. But, I mean, I guess if you had to put a one-game winner, who would you take between Celtics and Hornets, Daniel?
Boston.
That's it. Just that's Boston. There's nothing else to it. There's no easy. Intrigue, no mystery.
Yeah.
Boston.
Yeah, we're going Boston with this pick.
We're going Boston. We're going board. All right.
Hot take.
Hot take. No.
First of the show. Hot take. Here we go. Let's go.
Boston. That's not even a hot take. It's expected. How good. All right. We'll talk about the other playing game then, because I agree. I think Boston's it should be an easy win. It'd be a lot easier if they had Brown. But all right, the next is the 9-10 matchup with the Pacers and the Wizards. Now, I think the kind of weird thing about these two teams is they're going complete opposite directions. I don't know if you saw, but the Pacers are talking about currently firing their coach, which is kind of weird. Like, hey, we're about to make the playoffs, but ignore that. Let's talk about firing our coach. So that's a bold tactic. Showing lack of leadership on one side, and the other side we have the Wizards, who I don't know if you know this, Daniel, they're the second hottest team in basketball right now. In the past 15 games, they are they're 11-4 in their past 15 games.
Yeah, dude, they went down to the wire with Golden State last night without Beal.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. It was pretty much Westbrook, and that's it. So it's kind of crazy that actually, I think it was Atlanta. They went to the.
Oh yeah, you're right. My bad.
It was Atlanta. Yeah,
my bad. Atlanta.
So it was a 1-point game between the two, and you know Russell Westbrook I think broke the record for triple doubles in that game, passing Oscar Robertson, going 28, 13, and 21 that game. Go ahead.
I just have a small problem with that when I'm sitting there watching the highlights and there's so many clips, you know, just rebounds. It's like we got 4 Wizards standing under the basket and they're all just watching the ball drop so Russell Westbrook can go get it. And it's like, I mean, no discredit to the effort that he's put in to, you know, get that far, but it's like, dude, I miss the days when he was like, you know, he was like down in the paint, like shoving his own teammates trying to, you know, get a rebound.
Wait, this was after Durant left when he had nothing to play for.
Because
I think that was the last time he was serious. He's like, him and Durant, like, we almost made it to the finals. And then after that, it was just, well, I'm the guy that has to carry the city, so I'm just going to do everything and not even try to have a team. And that's kind of what it feels like with Russell Westbrook. But it's kind of crazy. I mean, Bradley Beal's one of the legit scorers in the league. I mean, he dropped in the game before against the Pacers, he dropped 50 on the Pacers. Yeah. It's kind of so. I mean, those two kind of is a scary 1-2 punch. Beal and Westbrook. I just don't know how serious you can take those two. And the Wizards. I mean, the Bullets. I mean, how good has that franchise been ever? Not very. probably ever. But yeah, so the one thing that's kind of weird though with the Wizards is even with all this, they're one of the hottest teams. Like I said, they're 11-4 in their past 15 games, and now they're up to the 10 seed. They started the year terribly. They're actually one of three teams that have a top 10 offensive and defensive rating in their past 15 games. So I don't think when you think of the Wizards, you don't think of defense, but they are in terms of efficiency. So, and then with the Pacers, they're kind of going the opposite direction. TJ Warren was lost for the season. Miles Turner is currently out. Sabonis just came back. Brogdon just got pulled for his hammy. So, I mean, to me, the Wizards should win that game. They just recently beat the Pacers twice. They beat them overtime 133-132. And then a week ago, they beat them in their standard NBA game, Daniel, 154-141. Because, you know, that's
no, that's normal. That's
like, yeah, that's normal, I guess, for the NBA these days. So who you got in that game for Pacers and Wizards for that play-in game?
I don't know, man. It's like you said, those last two games were high scoring. The last one was really close. And I mean, I guess it just all depends on who shows up to play. I mean, Westbrook doesn't have any more triple doubles to get, so we'll see what happens when he'd be forced an assist while driving in an open lane, just trying to pad some stats. Some of his assists are so extra. It's like, dude, you didn't need to pass that. What are you doing? Just shoot the ball.
So who do you, if you have to bet your life on it, who would you pick?
I mean, I'll take the Wizards. You know, Westbrook, I mean, you really can't deny it. The dude is skilled. I mean, he's Mr. Triple-Double, or as they say in the Spanish NBA or NABA, Senor Triple-Double. So yeah, I'll put my.
You could go farther with the numbers. You could.
Okay, I'll put my pesos on the Wizards in that game.
Dang, all the pesos.
Yeah.
Look, you're drinking low end rum this weekend.
Low end.
All right. So that means if this played out to be true, Boston would be the 7th seed, and then the playing game would be between Charlotte and the Wizards. So do you think the Wizards could win that game also?
Well, that's the whole thing, isn't it? It's like playing for the 7 and 8 seed is like basically playing for a first round out. Yeah. I mean, that's how I see it. I think I read something recently where, like, historically speaking, like 7 and 8 seeds, like the percentage of them that's like even made it out of the first round is so low since like the 80s. It's just like, it's abysmal. So it's like, you know what? You create a little urgency for the play-in tournament, but at the end of the day, you're just, you're stepping on the court with these monster teams, and I just don't think they're going to compete. I think it gets a little bit more interesting on the West side, but I guess we'll do another one for that. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. I think there's really not a lot of upsets. Talking about that 8 seed, I think one of the few ones I can remember as we were kids – young is, I think, when Mutombo somehow, like, I think, beat the Supersonics. So we're going back that far, the Seattle Supersonics and Dikembe Mutombo. So, I don't think it happens very often where the 8 seed ever wins. So it's kind of, and you look at that matchup too. That matchup is, it's going to be what? The Sixers against the Wizards. If they win both those games, like, thanks. Thanks. That sounds fun.
It was like Alex Len and Robin Lopez trying to corral Embiid for.
Oh my God. Yeah, that's series one matchup, guys, watching Alex Len. This is where people make stupid, dumb contracts. There's always someone in the playoffs that does way better than they should, and then someone gets a max contract out of it. Like, Alex Len's going to drop 20 points in 20 minutes on Joel Embiid losing and being swept 4 games to nothing, but now he's going to get a max contract because of it.
Dude, so, Ish Smith.
Oh my God. Don't talk about Ish Smith. Who's dumb enough to get a max contract?
Ish Smith looks like Famous Lowe's. That's what he looks like.
Anyways, back to relevant talk. So, in this hypothetical world we just made up, we have the Boston being 7 seed. And then the Wizards being 8 seed. So let's get back into talking about the rest of the playoff matchup. So if Philly currently had a matchup, Philly be against the 8 seed we just talked about. So You know, who in that bottom couple teams could actually match up with Philly? You know, who on the East could even match up with Philly? I don't know. But with Embiid and Simmons, they're top op. Well, Embiid is a top offensive and defensive player. Simmons is a top defensive player with some offensive potential. They upgrade their shooters. I mean, they also have Tobias Harris, but their shooters, they got Danny Green, Seth Curry, you know, the forgotten Curry, if you will. So for Philly, you know, that, you know, they're a dangerous team. In the last 15, they're 11-4. They're one of the other three teams that are in the top 10 for offensive and defensive ratings. I mean, is there anyone in the East that you think could match up with Philly? Danny?
Milwaukee. I like that.
Ooh, you think that's just a lock for the Eastern Conference Finals, Milwaukee and Philly?
I'd watch it.
Well, glad they
appreciate second hot that take. Second hot take. No, I do. I mean, I like Milwaukee. No, we're not talking about them right now, but I think they would be the team that would really, you know, push that, probably push that to a seven game. Not getting too deep into the Bucks just yet, but I think that would be a really good matchup.
To clarify, is your hot take that you would watch the game, or is it your hot take that they like that'd be a good series?
So that's the third hot take. The first hot take was Boston. And then the second hot take, of course, is that you all know which series is I will watch and won't. So that's important to know. Oh, and then hot take number three. I mean, this is going to be it's just, yeah, I'm all over the place.
Hot takes everywhere.
Let's go. Yeah, man. All right. For you.
So the number two seed is the Brooklyn Nets. And they have the super team of Harden, Irving, and Kevin Durant. So they have three, some people say superstars. Maybe you don't agree with that, Daniel, but they have three of the best players in the league on the same team, and then a bunch of other guys. You know, they got, I mean, they have Blake Griffin.
Name them all. Yeah, name them all off.
Yeah, Jordan, you know, those guys, Chris LeVert, who they let leave for whatever dumb reason. Because they had to bring James Harden, I guess. But, you know, they that white guy that shoot threes, that's not named Keith Van Horn. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Keith Van Horn's making a comeback. Brooklyn Nets are just signing all the veteran minimum players.
They've been pretty bad without Harden. Harden's like, surprisingly, he was like the add-on to that team, and suddenly he's like the MVP.
Yeah, it's weird. He went from being overweight Harden to joining the Nets and single-handedly being the best thing that happened to him, even though they already have Irving and Durant.
Oh, my God, I love Fat Harden.
Fat Harden. Yeah, and weird because the past 15 games, they are they're 8-7 in their past 15 games without Harden pretty much. He's supposed to come back soon, but do you know who actually has a worse record in the past 15 games than the Nets?
Probably a lot of teams.
The only one that matters, the Lakers, who were 5-10 in that 15 game stretch. So,
oh, okay. All right.
Yep.
Triggered.
So, yep. So, so the Nets currently match up against Boston. Who would you take in that series?
Why?
I feel like it's an easy answer. The easy answer is Nets, but I want to hear you talk your way out of this.
I don't want to talk my way out of that. I just want to say that I just don't think the Nets are going to go very far. I mean, I don't see them losing to Boston in a seven-game series, but I have a hard time believing that they're going to get to the finals, let alone win one, which has been the narrative since they put that team together. It's like, oh, my God, these guys are a shoe-in. But it's like, are they?
They are. I think one of the things that you brought up, though, is you think the Knicks will go farther than the Nets. Is that something that you are going to make your fourth hot take? Because I want to force you into it if it is.
No, that's not a hot take. Everybody's aware of that. If we're talking Knicks, I think they win a series at best. If we're talking Nets, I just don't think the consistency is there, the cohesion on the court. I mean, it looks like they've started like 35 different lineups all season. Harden's not even playing right now. These guys have played what? The big three for Brooklyn has played like what? 7-8 games total all season together. Seven, yeah.
Yep.
So it's like, are they, I feel like that, I'm losing the word here.
Flat Earth.
Yeah. Flat Earth theory. And then, chemistry. So chemistry on the court, I think that matters, especially as you roll into the postseason. I mean, these guys are just not gonna, all step on the court in the postseason against, the rest of the top teams in the league and suddenly be, I mean, I get that those three guys are like automatic buckets, but I mean, what's their defense been looking like all season? And as far as I've seen, it hasn't been the best,
they're phenomenal.
No, they're not.
They're phenomenal.
I just think it's like every other super team that's been put together in the last however many years, like Miami back in like 2010 when they brought in Bosch and LeBron. And it's like those guys didn't start the season good and they lost in the finals to the Mavericks. And, again, and what was it, 2 years ago when the Clippers built their little super team and, they fizzled out at the end against Toronto. So I just think if they'd have played more together, if we'd have seen them more, I think it would be a better picture. It'd be easier to say how they're going to do. But I think it's going to be, I think they're going to fall apart. And it's going to be the biggest letdown in basketball history since my squadron team lost to LRS in the Intramurals Championships back in 2007.
I thought you were going to go with the Monster Squad and Space Jam, but okay. The Nets have the most efficient offense in terms of offensive rating in the NBA for the season. Their defense, though, is the 23rd. So if you want to say that defense wins championships in the NBA, then the one and two teams are the Lakers, the 76ers, the Jazz are the third best, and fourth best team is the Knicks. Surprisingly, the fifth best team, Daniel, the Golden State Warriors on defensive rating. I don't think anyone would have thought that.
Yeah, I mean, the Nets don't have anybody that's going to guard these big guys in the East. Embiid, Antetokounmpo. I mean, who's going to guard them?
George Mirason. Next.
Greg Ostertoaster.
Greg Ostertoaster. He's come out of retirement from the Jazz, and he's going to go dominate for the Nets, just like everyone else on the 10-day contracts.
They signed a 10-day with Rajah Bell, so I think it's going to go good.
Just because you heard his name doesn't mean you can just say his name whenever you want.
I can say his name whenever I want.
Steve Nash is probably going to play. So
that would be so cool if he did like a snap away of his like coach outfit and just was like in uniform, ready to rock.
But like not even the right uniform. He had like a Suns jersey on because that's all he had.
Dude, wasn't Steve Nash was on a super team, quote unquote, back in the day when they added him and Dwight Howard to the Lakers.
No, can't we just talk about the Suns? Instead? I don't want to talk about that. Let's stick to the East. Stick to the East. Don't open the box. Don't open the box. All right. So let's see. Let's go back to the Heat. So you think that the Heat are just gonna elite talent is going to be trumped by chemistry. That's Daniel Griffin hot take number 17.
The fact that at some point, Thanos is going to come in and snap his fingers and half of all KD's Achilles tendons are going to disappear.
Is that going to be Thanos or is that Kyle Shanahan's prediction that everyone's not going to be alive? So the third seed right now is the Bucks, who is actually one of the best teams recently. They actually beat the Nets twice in the head-to-head matchup. I don't know if you watch those games, but they handled themselves pretty well against the Nets. Granted, the Nets only had two of their three Infinity Stones of players that they had at the time, but they still beat them. Looked pretty good. So the Bucks are the three seed, kind of a dangerous situation, but they also have a terrible matchup. Currently, they're matched up with the Heat, who beat them in the first round last year, which was one of the kind of the big things last year is they upset them. And then they also this year they split the head-to-head matchup. In the head-to-head matchup, the Heat won one of them, and then the Bucks, I think, won by 50 in the other one. So May 15th is the third if they do play that game. That's in a couple of days. So that's kind of an interesting game to watch and just kind of see, maybe because that could be the matchup, or maybe they just bench everyone if the race slide 3-6 and just play it safe so no one gets hurt. But do you think the Heat can do that again, turn it on, and beat the Bucks again? I mean, they bring back the same roster almost. The only difference is the Bucks. I think Drew Holiday is the big addition for the Bucks. So what do you think about that matchup 3-6? Is that probably the best first round matchup to watch?
Hot take number 73, player of the series, Brooke Lopez, the better of the Lopez brothers, and also the one with less hair. This guy's making almost $13 million a year, and for good reason.
What's that good reason?
I don't know. But yeah, no, totally agree. Good matchup. You got the Antetokounmpo brothers, which, if you don't know this, that here in Arkansas is pronounced as Antetokounmpo. So, fun fact there. I don't know, man. I don't see it going down this way this year. The Bucks, I think Giannis has a lot less pressure on him this year. I think he's not high. If he's in it, he's not high up in the MVP talks. These guys have been kind of missing the mark the last several years. So I think they're going to be hungry. I think they're going to be ready to play, and I think they're going to win that series.
I think it's going to be a phenomenal series either way. So you got the, I'm going to just document this. You got the Bucks winning that series, right?
Yeah.
All right. Even though Jimmy Buckets is over there, who can just turn it on whenever he wants.
This isn't based in fact at all, like most of my takes. So I'll just throw this out there. Miami was such a surprise last year, and it was awesome to watch, but that was a truncated year, and the playoffs was played in the bubble. So you saw a lot of younger teams excelling. I think Miami, we've got a full season done now, and I don't think you're going to get the same performance out of those guys.
All right. I'll take you for your, I'll take you on that. All right. The next matchup is the Hawks and the Knicks. All right. So they've played twice already. Actually, no, they played three times already. Knicks Hawks have already played all three times. And the Knicks have actually beat the Hawks three times. And they've combined 26 points in those wins. So I wouldn't say that they're dominating wins, but the Knicks have definitely kind of owned the Hawks. Now, the one thing that's kind of crazy is Julius Randle, just kind of what he's turned into as a player, how good he's been. I think he has potential to do triple doubles like Westbrook, but he doesn't. He could. So with him, the Hawks, I don't think they have an answer for him. He combined for 112 points in three games. So they could not stop him. He shot at a high rate. He had tons of rebounds, tons of assists. I don't think there's anyone in the Hawks that could really match up with them. And they're still kind of up and coming. They have a good core with Capella and Trae Young, who's kind of like Steph Curry light, maybe. I don't know. He's interesting to watch. I think Bogdanović is someone that they got who's a good shooter, but really doesn't play any defense. So
yeah, Hunter's still out.
What? Yeah, I think he is. The Hawks have a good roster, and they're only going to get better. So I think maybe next year's maybe the year for the Knicks or the Hawks to kind of more so compete. But the Knicks have been really impressive lately. Like I said, they have the best record of the past 15 games. I kind of look at the reason I'm saying best last 15 games for people listening is teams going into the playoffs. I think there is some truth into kind of like Daniel's talking about chemistry. I think there's also truth in like how good your team plays going into the playoffs. So. The Knicks currently have a 5-game road trip on the West Coast with the Nuggets, Suns, Clippers, Lakers, and I think they have one more. So that's kind of a good test on how the Knicks are going to finish and how they're going to be going to the playoffs. But, they're 12-3 their past 15. They're the other last of the three teams that's top 10 in offensive and defensive rating. Tom Thibodeau is a great coach. He's a great defensive coach. He makes his team hardworking, unlike all the other teams that are out there that just kind of, play lazy defense, don't box out on rebounds. He has his team working hard. The Knicks really came out of nowhere. I think no one expected this to be this good at this point of the year. But do you think it's easy that the Knicks just beat the Hawks, or do you think this is actually a series, Daniel?
The Knicks play LA tonight.
Yeah, that's correct. They do play and, LA tonight.
And actually, I think originally they were saying that LeBron was going to come back, but I think the most recent update is that he's going to wait until later in the week. But that would have been a really interesting game. I think I would like to see the Knicks win a series. I think that would be really cool. This franchise, at least in recent history, has been pretty abysmal. So it would be pretty cool to see them pull together, especially when they had relatively slow starts from some of those guys that you named off to start the season, like RJ Barrett, even Julius Randle, are really kind of coming into their own at the right time. So I think it'll be a good series.
Yeah, I think it's a good series. The next kind of two teams that are up and coming in on the Eastern side. The other thing is, it's kind of weird seeing, I think when we were growing up watching basketball, the Knicks, the Pacers, the Pistons, the Bulls, like those were the four, like, I think the powerhouses on the East, and now they're kind of just like gone. So I think seeing the Knicks come up being good and competitive, to me, it's good for basketball. It's kind of weird seeing the Knicks being good without like marquee players. Cause you know, a lot of people talk about wanting to go to New York and like wanting to build a brand kind of like LA. So maybe this is what kind of propels all these big name free agents coming next 2 years to go to the Knicks. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with New York. But yeah, I think, you know, the Knicks, to me, the Knicks take that series. So yeah, that's kind of like a first round preview where we were just kind of quickly breaking down. As the playoffs go on, we'll do more podcasts talking the series as they go out. And next week we'll do the Western Conference and so on. So the one thing I'm going to finish with, Daniel, is, if we were to tier out these teams in the playoffs of the 1 through 10, and let's call it, you know, the contenders, the wannabe contenders, and then the pretenders. So if I'm going to list out the names, Daniel, you can tell me which category you think they fall under. We'll start with the Sixers. I feel like that's an obvious one. They're a clear contender, right?
Contender.
Yeah. We expect them to compete against in the finals, right?
Yes.
Is there any team on the West that you think could match up with them? Or how about, do you think they match well with the Lakers, since the Lakers are defending champions? And a lot of people say if the Lakers are healthy, it's theirs to defend. Do you think that Philly matches up well with the Lakers? Like, is that the best finals for us to watch with a healthy Lakers team?
Healthy Lakers, yes. That's the question, though, right? You know, I mean, we got to get to that eventually, but, you know, we got to see what happens with LeBron when he comes back. I mean, he's really the linchpin. So if he's playing good, if he's in form, then yeah, absolutely.
It's funny because I told a couple of my friends who are Lakers fans, not Corey, because he's not worth talking to you about this stuff, being from LA. Right. But yeah, anyways, that with LeBron signing there, I was like, listen, that first year he has to win a championship, because when you're 36, 37 years old, I can attest to this, shit hurts on your body. Like, you don't recover, you don't bounce back. I don't care how good sports science is. There's certain sports, there's certain positions you cannot play at an elite level anymore. Like I said, it's just my opinion. Like Tom Brady at quarterback, yes, you can play that position, because as long as you have kind of some twinkle toes, you can move around the pocket, and as long as your arm is somewhat intact, you can still make some throws. You saw Drew Brees making terrible throws. Not terrible, but he just has no arm strength. So, but he's an NFL quarterback and he's phenomenal at it. So LeBron, I think we're seeing this year is kind of the start. He's even said that he's never going to be 100% healthy ever again. So for all you people out there that hate LeBron, love LeBron, I think you need to kind of appreciate this is the last year that we're probably going to see LeBron at maybe his peak. You know, I think it'd be great if we can see the Lakers make the playoffs, make the finals one last push, just to kind of see how LeBron does. But that's my take, 36 to 37. Man, I don't think LeBron's got it. It's hard to say with this sport, jumping, penetrating, banging under the rim. It's going to be tough to see LeBron kind of keep up that young body. Someone like Zion's going to just bowl through him. But yeah, so let's move on to the Nets. Nets, are they a contender or wannabe contender, Daniel?
They are convincingly pretenders.
So you just skipped the wannabe contenders into pretenders. This is...
Oh, man, I can't buy it. I'm sorry. I just can't. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for the implosion.
Oh, man. So, and I know I've heard other NBA people talk about the whole you need the chemistry. And I think this will be an interesting test, because if you see them just turn it on in the playoffs, and because if they turn it on, I don't think anyone can beat them. That's my opinion.
On a flat earth, no.
Oh, yeah, you're right. On flat earth. In Kyrie's domain, unstoppable. But we're not there. Don't tell him that. But Daniels' pretenders, it's hard for me to say that they're not contenders until I see them actually play together and not succeed. So I guess we'll see. Let's move on to the Bucks. Where you got them, Daniel? Contenders, want to be contenders, pretenders?
Oh, this just in. Somebody said a mean tweet about Kevin Durant. I don't think he's going to play for the rest of the season.
Regular season?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Shocker. The Bucks, are they contenders? Want to be contenders or pretenders?
Like I said before, man, I think the Bucks are primed and ready. I think they're going to make a deep run. I'll put them contenders.
All right. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see those three top teams play each other in like a seven-game series. Or I guess in your world, it's between the Philly and the Bucks. The two dominant cities of America, Philadelphia and Milwaukee. Okay, so the four seed, the Knicks, where do you have them? Can they contend? Do they have enough to contend yet with Philly and the Bucks? Or where do you have them? Want to be contenders, pretenders?
I got them winning maybe a series. I think they win maybe the first round series, but I don't see them going much farther than that. I don't know how you rate that. You put that as a contender or pretender.
I'll put them in the middle.
Middle of the road?
Yep, middle earth for Frodo. If the Knicks and the Nets played, who do you have in that series? Just out of curiosity.
Knicks-Nets. Battle of New York.
Yep. Okay, next question. The Hawks, do we have them in the same realm as the Knicks, or are you putting them down with the Nets because you hate them, like you hate the Nets?
I got the Hawks as contenders.
You have them above. I was like, but you have the Knicks below contenders. So you have the Hawks better than the Knicks?
And none of this is going to make sense. Just understand that Clint Capella is in the running for Defensive Player of the Year. So lockdown defense.
The problem is the Knicks have to play the Hawks.
So. Yeah.
All right. Anyways, then we got the 60, the Heat. Contenders, wannabes, pretenders.
I don't know. It's hard to pick against them, but I really don't see. I think they're going to be a different team this year. I think in the postseason, it's just not going to go the same.
So you want to put them same as the Knicks then?
I'm going to put them kind of the same as they're flirting. The Knicks / Nets / Hawks.
So, yeah, stop making these rules up. All right. And I'm just going to say that the rest of these teams, I don't think we can. Maybe the Celtics, we can say, is the only team out of that bottom. Is the Celtics the only team out of the bottom four that could maybe win a series? I guess the problem is that they would be playing the Nets. So the Celtics, you think they can steal a couple games from the Nets?
I don't think they beat the Nets. Do you?
No. You're the one that hates the Nets. So
I'm just asking the Nets, but I don't think they're going to lose to the Celtics.
Yeah.
The Celtics are trending down at like the worst possible time. So, I mean,
How do you get the Knicks? You have Blake Griffin who's a host of a comedy prank show.
Don't you have talk about Blake Griffin like that?
Blake Griffin. You have DeAndre Jordan who doesn't know how to pick whatever team he wants to go to between the Mavericks and the Clippers. Back a couple years ago, for you saying they're led by a Canadian god. Is their owner still Russian? Like it's a whole weird situation. Kyrie thinks there's a flat Earth. I don't know. That's just weird still. But anyways, all right. So that's what we're listing out. So I think it's safe to say that Dale does not buy in on the Nets. That's the big takeaway from this. Philly and the Bucks are the two top dogs. And the rest is kind of just interesting. I think the first thing that we're going to watch, though, is the play-in game. So I think that pretty much covers everything that we wanted to talk on the Eastern Conference side. Like I said, we're just going to kind of do it quickly, breaking down before we get into the playoffs, the Eastern Conference. And as we go round by round, we'll do more in-depth coverage on those rounds. So, Daniel, thank you for joining us with your half-relevant hot takes, half-impossible-to-follow hot takes. So thank you for that, I think.
Am I the only one who thinks that Rui Hachimura's name doesn't match his face?
The dude on the Wizards?
Yeah,
no, you're right.
I'm just saying, I didn't, I was like, who is this guy they keep talking about? And let's be honest, if you were standing in a Walmart next to Joe Ingles, you wouldn't know that it was him. You wouldn't recognize him.
I think it's almost insulting in the, once again, you're talking the Western Conference now. But I always think it's insulting that he's listed as a starting point guard in the NBA for the past 2 weeks when you look at him. Like, yeah, he looks like he's going to greet you at Walmart. He looks like the dude that does PR on The Office.
He looks like the guy that sold me my iPhone at Verizon.
So stupid. Oh, my God. Thanks for those hot takes, Daniel, of who of what people look like.
Yep.
Look at this roster is kind of ridiculous. The people on the Wizards are looking at the people they have.
Yeah, dude. It's everywhere. It's all over the place.
All right. Cool. thanks everyone listening. We're going to push out another NBA episode next week for the Western Conference, where Daniel confesses his love for LeBron James and his creaky knees. And then I will defend the Utah Jazz and the Phoenix Suns for why hopefully those two teams are relevant, because I think it's good for the NBA. But thanks for joining us, guys. Sports Talk for fans by fans. Like I said, check out our Facebook page. And you'll see more of Daniel on the NBA side. So thank you and sorry and you're welcome. I don't know that that covers everything on Daniel's behalf. But Daniel, anything you want to take us out on before we wrap this up?
Yeah, get forklift certified.
Oh my God. Brought to you by no one. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you next week.